Thank you, Bruce. Amy Carmichael served as a missionary to the nation of India. She established an orphanage there and rescued children. I like what she's written about the topic of faithfulness. Quote, "Sometimes when we read the words of those who have been more than conquerors, we feel almost despondent. I feel that I shall never be like that. But they won through step by step, by little bits of wills, little denials of self, little inward victories, by faithfulness in very little things." Did you catch that? Faithful in small things. Faithfulness comes in nuggets. Droplets form clouds. Trees comprise forests. Bricks form walls. Christian growth, one day at a time. Now, if you are a Christian, I imagine that your unrelenting passion is faithfulness. You seek to be faithful to Christ, to the life that He's called you, to the work He's given you, to the lives He's assigned you. It's the sound of Jesus on that greatest of all days, in the sweetest of tones, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I believe that that is our great hope. That is our driving passion. It's our heartbeat. Well, there is a chapter in Isaiah that spurs us on to faithfulness. And we continue our series from the book of Isaiah, today turning to Isaiah chapter 50. And as we do in this chapter, we find three habits for faithful living. There's a habit of assurance, being assured of God's commitment. There's a habit of acquaintance, being fully informed of His example. And then there's a habit of confidence, being confident in His call. We'll begin in chapter 50 with the first three verses. Here we can be assured of God's commitment. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 1. "Thus says the Lord, where is the certificate of divorce by which I have sent your mother away? Or to whom of my creditors did I sell you? Behold, you were sold for your iniquities, and for your transgressions your mother was sent away. Why was there no man when I came? When I called, why was there none to answer? Is my hand so short that it cannot ransom? Or have I no power to deliver? Behold, I dry up the sea with my rebuke. I make the rivers a wilderness. Their fish stink for lack of water and die of thirst. I clothe the heavens with blackness and make sackcloth their covering." Well, we begin here with a direct address by God. God speaks to Israel. We might call this a Q&A or a question and answer. There's questions of God's relationship to Israel, questions of Israel's relationship to God. God views Israel, as we begin, as His wife. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 5, God declares, "Your husband is your maker," speaking to Israel. If someone were to ask, well, what is God's love for His people like? What does God do? He points them to marriage. If we want to understand what God's love is like for His people, we look to the marriage relationship, to the marriage bond that he's created, to the marriage that he's instituted. Now, back in this time, if a marriage was terminated, there would be a paper trail, something called a certificate of divorce. You see, under the Old Testament law, a husband could give his wife a certificate of divorce. Back in Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 1, we understand that this practice was allowed, though not obligated. It also regulated what was already happening or what already existed. And to be clear, Jesus certainly is, over in Matthew chapter 19, we understand that divorce goes against God's plan for marriage. But to our text this morning, in Isaiah's day, Israel believed God left, that God was no longer present among them. God abandoned us. So God says to them, "Where's the certificate?" No one could produce such a document, meaning God, in fact, did not leave. God remains a faithful husband. God is also a faithful father. He asks them again, "To whom of my creditors did I sell you?" God is now borrowing from the ancient practice of sale. Did God sell them off? In the Old Testament, a man could sell off himself, he could sell off his wife, he could sell off his children. He could do this to pay off a creditor. Over in 2 Kings chapter 4, we find the prophet Elisha. He miraculously supplies a widow with olive oil. When she was about to sell off her children, she had no money left. But she now, through Elisha, she now had a source of income and the means to pay off that debt. So is this the picture of God and his people? I suppose it could be. If God had debt, if God owed people, anyone, anything, but God has no debts. God never pays people back. You see, God is indebted to no one. This world is his and all it contains. And that's just the point he's making here. You see, these questions in Isaiah 50 are rhetorical. They are meant to show us that the exact opposite is true. God is a faithful husband. And God is a faithful father. And if Israel has detected some problem in her relationship with God, God says the problem is not with me, it is with you. So how about Israel's relationship to God? It appears as though she's absent from that relationship, and she's doubting. Why was there no man when I came? God asks them, "When I called, why was there none to answer?" God knocks, no answer. God rings, no reply. You see, it is God's people who are absent, not him. Is my hand so short that it cannot ransom, or have I no power to deliver? God's people are losing faith. The answer to verse 2, to the questions of that verse, they seem to point to the Exodus. You can think back to that event early in the Bible. It's that great event of God's deliverance. He brings his people up out of Egyptian slavery. It's as though God is saying, "Think back with me. Look back and remember. I dry up the sea. The Red Sea became dry ground. I make the rivers a wilderness. God turns the Nile to blood. Their fish stink for lack of water, yet another byproduct. I clothe the heavens with blackness." Exodus chapter 10, verse 21, a darkness which can be felt. God points to his deliverance and says, "Do not doubt my love." So how about you this morning? Do you have a break with God? Is there something in between you and your Lord today? Maybe it seems as though God is done with you, as though he sent you away, as though God is absent from your life. Maybe he stopped loving me or he stopped caring. But that is not true. Not for his people. Not for those who've come to him through faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. If you need this morning to come back to the table with God, come back. God is at the table. God has never left the table. You can be assured of his commitment to you. And if we could, go back one chapter, back to chapter 49, just for a moment here. This is almost too good to miss. We ask ourselves, how committed is God to his people? Well, chapter 49 gives us some pictures of this commitment. It's wonderful. It's the commitment of a rebuilder to a city. It's the commitment of a rescuer of captives. It's the commitment of a savior to his people. It's the commitment of a woman to her nursing child. And it's the commitment of a mother's compassion on her son. Those are wonderful pictures of God's commitment to you. He is fully faithful. He's completely committed. This is just a great assurance for us. Our faithfulness to God, it ultimately is not dependent upon us. It begins with God. It's about God's faithfulness to us. This is where it starts. So we can be assured of God's commitment to us. And we can allow that to fuel our commitment to him. Well, secondly, this morning in verses 4 through 9, I want us to be acquainted with God's servant. God is about to give us a model of faithfulness. He informs us. We can see what faithfulness to God looks like. Not only do we know that he's faithful to us, but we can now look and see what faithfulness looks like to God. We just saw in the first three verses, God speaking. And now in the next six verses, someone else is speaking. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4. "The Lord God has given me the tongue of disciples, that I may know how to sustain the weary one with a word. He awakens me, morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not disobedient, nor did I turn back. I gave my back to those who strike me, and my cheeks to those who pluck out the beard. I did not cover up my face from humiliation and spitting. For the Lord God helps me. Therefore, I am not disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up to each other. Who has a case against me? Let him draw near to me. Behold, the Lord God helps me. Who is he who condemns me? Behold, they will all wear out like a garment. The moth will eat them." Well, we now see what faithfulness looks like. Our example, this servant, is faithful in four main ways. He's faithful in his speaking. in his obeying, in his suffering, and in his expecting. We'll look at each of these one by one here in a moment, but before we do, I want you to see the servant's strength. I want you to see the source or the supply behind this. And all of this is about to make sense, particularly in light of what we just saw, God's commitment or God's faithfulness. The Lord's supply, the servant's supply, is by the Lord God. 4 times in 6 verses, he is the supply. The Lord God has given. The Lord God has opened. The Lord God helps me 2 times. Lord God in our text is Adonai Yahweh. Throughout the Bible, God is revealing himself using different names. Each of them is very important. See, the different names of God teach us different things about who God is or what God does. Here, he's known as Adonai Yahweh. Adonai points to his sovereignty. Yahweh is the personal name for God. So it's by this sovereign control, by this personal relationship, that God's servant remains faithful. He is faithful in speech. We shouldn't be too surprised by this because we know that speech carries weight. In Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21, we learn that death and life are in the power of the tongue. So when we measure our faithfulness, we also want to consider our speech or our tongue. Remember what we said when we began our sermon. It's in the little things. It's through the little things that faithfulness grows. The servant speaks, saying, "The Lord God has given me the tongue of disciples." Literally, this is the tongue of learned ones. That means that the servant has been trained. He's been educated. Why? That I may know how to sustain the weary one with a word. God did not give the servant knowledge so he could win arguments, so he could show off his knowledge or even vanquish his opposition. God trained the servant. He grew him so that he could be a servant of mercy. The servant uses his speech for compassion, to extend a merciful word to those who are faint and to those who are weary. He is faithful in speech. Our servant, secondly, is faithful in obedience. He awakens my ear to listen. The Lord God has opened my ear. In the Old Testament, to obey is to listen. If someone isn't listening, we would say that they weren't obeying. This concept of listening and obeying, well, we can put an equal sign between them. Each morning, the Lord God awakens the servant, and he does so for a new day of faithful obedience. Verse 4 words it this way, it's morning by morning. And this is such a good word for us today. You see, for you and I, the failures of yesterday, they are just that. They are yesterday's failures. If there's some kind of sin that we've committed, we can bring it before our Lord. We can confess our sin. He is faithful to forgive us. We can put that behind us and we can move on to a new day. There's this story told of General Grant in the American Civil War. It was nighttime. Day 1 of a battle has just occurred. the battle has concluded. This is the battle of the wilderness. It was a real mess. It was just a real disaster for Grant and his forces on day one. And the story is told of Grant going to his tent and breaking down and crying, coming totally undone. And then on day two, he got back up and he went out and he fought again. And I like how that illustrates the Christian life. You see, yesterday may have been a disaster, but it's a new day today. Morning by morning, day by day. Today is a new day for the Christian. In fact, Jeremiah tells us that God's mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. The servant treated each day as a new opportunity. A new opportunity for what? A new opportunity to faithfully obey God. Not one day was wasted in the life of the servant. Well, thirdly, the servant faithfully suffered. He faithfully suffered. He says in verse 6, I gave my back to those who strike me, my cheeks to those who pluck out the beard. I did not cover my face from humiliation, from spitting. There's the physical pain of blows to the back. There's the humiliation of being spat upon. There's the two combined in the pulling out of the beard. To tear out the beard in this time, in this culture, is a show of great contempt, not to mention the physical pain. But most surprising is the servant's response. It's the first two words of verse 6. He says, I gave. The servant voluntarily gave himself to this abuse. It is undeserved. We just saw already in our text that he spoke words of compassion, that he was faithfully obedient. This is an example that you and I need to ponder for a moment. The servant models unjust suffering. He's not claiming his rights. He's not pursuing what he deserves. He faithfully suffers. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, we are informed by the apostle that we've been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps. The question isn't, will I suffer? The Bible says we will. The question is, how will we suffer? Like the servant, our call is to faithfully suffer for the Lord God. But let us not lose hope, because certainly the servant did not. It's the fourth example of faithfulness by the servant. He maintains a faithful expectation. He is very confident of success. You see, God helps him, and that means everything to him. This is not some kind of wish that he has. This is not some kind of possibility. He carries conviction. God helps me, I will succeed. This is a conviction that you and I must share. You and I must be absolutely convinced in the deepest recesses of our hearts that God is for us, that God helps us, This is the God, again, of verses 1 through 3, the God who is committed, the God who is faithful. This is the servant's strength. And what happens as a result? Verse 7, I am not disgraced. He says it again, I am not ashamed. I will be esteemed. I will be honored. I will be approved. Verse 9, he says, I am not condemned. Verses 8 and 9 seem to take on the scene of a courtroom. It's as though someone is going to bring a charge against this servant. God acquits. He is confident. In verse 7, I have set my face like flint. This is an unbreakable faithfulness. Flint is a hard rock. It was used in Isaiah's day for cutting and for chiseling. It's an illustration of the servant's confidence. Firm, resolute, fully convinced, nothing will sway him. He fully hopes in God. The Lord God is forever faithful. This servant is our example. And when I think about the servant of Isaiah 50, I think about our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Is that not who this man reminds you of? He was faithful in suffering. He was beaten and mocked and spat upon. He was faithful in speech. He invited people, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Our Lord was faithful in obedience. He declared that he came not to do his own will, but to do the will of his Father. And he was faithful in expectation. What he knew about God, he now presents to us. Where I am, there you will be also. This faithful servant, this example, is our example in Jesus Christ. God has given us a flesh and blood model, a flesh and blood example of what faithfulness looks like. Speaking, obeying, suffering, and expecting. We can be informed by his life. We can be assured by God's commitment. And thirdly, in the last two verses, we can be confident by God's call. You and I can possess a confidence in God. Verse 10, who is among you that fears the Lord, that obeys the voice of his servant, that walks in darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. Behold, all you who kindle a fire, who encircle yourselves with firebrands, walk in the light of your fire, and among the brands you have set ablaze. This you will have from my hand. You will lie down in torment. God wants us to have confidence in him. Verse 10 is a call. God is saying there, if you fear the Lord, if you have a reverence and you have a respect for God, if you obey the servant, if you strive to follow his example, rely on me. Trust me. Now, God knows the temptation. God knows the lure to do otherwise. And verse 11 is a warning. All you who kindle a fire, all you who light your own path, all you who create your own hope, to walk in that is to ultimately suffer destruction. This is a good warning for you and I, because we tend to be a self-reliant people. When our nation was founded, We founded it upon a document called the Declaration of Independence. We are a self-reliant people. It's as though it's in our DNA. Being self-reliant is about as common as an evergreen in Whatcom County. So this is a very real danger for you and I, for the human creature. And God says to us, instead of looking in, look up. God says, I will light the fire. I will guide you. Trust me. Rely upon me. Do not suffer the fate of those who will light their own way. That is to say that you and I can have complete confidence in God. To do so is to be faithful. It's to trust Him. And right now we live in a time where the world is filled with uncertainty and unrest and uneasiness and unbelief and unbalance. But we must understand God is faithful. And by His commitment to us, we can be faithful to Him. Isaiah 50 encourages us to be assured and to be acquainted and to be confident. It's a wonderful chapter of God's faithfulness and the servant's example, and then a call to respond. It's faithfulness measured in small things, morning by morning, day by day. It was one morning in 1847 that Linus Sandall tore a page from the gospel. I don't mean literally, I mean figuratively. In miraculous fashion, her parents arrived home to find her dressed and walking about the house freely. Now, this wouldn't be so unusual except for the fact that Linus suffered from partial paralysis. Her physical healing, well, this is nothing short of a Jesus miracle from the Gospels. But like our lives, not everything for Linus went so well. Her life had its share of troubles also. 14 years later, she would return from a fishing trip alone. Her father fell overboard, drowning before her very eyes. It's a pain that's hard to imagine. But Lina knew Christ, and she turned to poetry, and she turned to songwriting. And she understood the power of God's faithfulness. And she knew the power of remaining faithful herself. You see, for her, faithfulness happens one day at a time, completely dependent upon God, vividly modeled by the servant. Lina penned lyrics to a song that would direct the hearts of God's people. It would direct their hearts up to Him to trust His promises, to remain faithful in a committed God. Well, these are the words that we now sing, a song by Lina Sandall, Day by Day.